right, welcome everybody to this edition of O365A. On today's podcast, we're going to be diving into one of the biggest shifts in Microsoft licensing landscape, the introduction of Microsoft 365 E7. So this new SKU is already sparkling conversations across IT, security, finance, and governance. And to help us cut through the noise, we're joined by special guest Kevin Keeler. He's co-founder and lead analyst at Enable UC. So welcome, Kevin.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Curtis and team. It'll be an interesting discussion, I'm sure.
Awesome. Well, Microsoft licensing, we could probably occupy an hour, but let's try to cut through the noise. So we have a new license in the Microsoft E365 ecosystem, E7. So why don't you just give us a high-level intro on the big changes?
Yeah, so I think this is a bold move by Microsoft. They're doubling down. In some ways, they couldn't get people to necessarily step up to paying $30 more for the Microsoft 365 Copilot. They only got like 3.3% adoption of that. So let's make a more expensive SKU at basically $99 per user per month. All of these are in US dollars, just to keep things simple. So the E7 then is you get everything you get in the E5 plus Copilot, which separately would run you $30, plus the Entra suite, which lists at $12. But if you have an E5, you're technically supposed to get a bit of a discount. But that brings you to $99. And then they announced pricing for their Agent 365, which is priced per user at $15 per user. So you're either at, you're either getting that potentially for free. And then the base E5, which is like $57, but that's being increased to $60. So, arguably you're saving $15 or $17, and you get all of those things. But let's be clear, it is not an all-inclusive SKU, because there is things that you might want, like end-to-end security or watermarking, and then you still got to step up for Teams Premium. So don't think that you're getting everything with E7. And then on top of that, which we can dive into, there is increasingly, as these agents and as we move into an agentic workforce, there is consumption billing, and depending on how you create an agent, your agent could get its own mailbox and its own OneDrive, but then it potentially needs its own E-series licensing as well, right? So, that's the high level. Let's dive in.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Definitely interesting that, that they're coming out with this new model. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, I know you kind of briefly touched on it, but I guess what I'm trying to understand is, what is Microsoft trying to solve with this E7 license for enterprises, right? Other than like a consolidation of, or maybe a reduction in money because of the, licensing add-ons that you have to put on and to get to an E7. Is there like anything that you can think of that they're trying to solve with this particular SKU?
And I think that is a big question. I've seen some people suggest that they're trying to create this SKU for people that are agent bosses, right? They came out with, some papers talking about the new frontier firm, and we're all going to become agent bosses, which means we're going to manage human agents, so people, and AI agents. And so maybe this SKU positions you with all the tools, including the brand new Agent 365 that gives you, what they call a control plane for agents, so governance and monitoring of your AI agents. So that's the best that I can think of. I mean, as I mentioned, it doesn't include everything, so it's not, kind of an all-you-can-eat buffet where, which when the E5 came out, it was certainly much more of that, right? When you had the E5, you virtually, had everything that most, organizations would require.
Thanks. And then just to quickly touch, I know that you sort of mentioned the identity and governance a little bit. Do you feel that the you know, the shift is more around, I guess nowadays because of AI and the agentic piece, is how organizations are going to manage their automation. Do you feel like that maybe it's kind of bringing that kind of like management of the agentic side a little bit more?
Well, I think that the Agent 365, you know, and they that was a big announcement at Ignite. And I think, you know, it looks like Microsoft put a lot of thought into this in terms of how do we give identity to agents, just like, you know, you get an Entra ID for people and, you know, how do we do that to agents? And they've got some interesting, you know, a person can earn or, you know, own the agents. And if you get rid of the person, the parent, then, you know, the agents go away and, you know, agents can have their own rights or they can inherit your rights or have a subset of your rights. So I think you're right, Habib, in that this is, you know, Microsoft trying to focus more on that agentic workforce. And, you know, obviously for all software vendors, if there's less people, then there's less licenses. So, you know, I think coming up with something that eventually then as you have more AI agents, there's also licensing assigned to them. That's certainly a very forward-looking kind of view. And maybe this is, you know, Microsoft's first step in that direction.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So the whole agentic movement, everybody talks about it. In reality, I still think we're, I don't know, 1-2 years, maybe 3 years away for mass adoption. So looking at this new E7 SKU and specifically the security features included with the Entra ID stack, Kevin, what's your feeling of, you know, is the value enough if you haven't sort of adopted like the full agentic workforce, if you will?
Yeah, so I think the short answer is no. So Agent 365, I think, is a great vision. I think it's still being baked. So I think, you know, you don't want to pay $15 per user per month because you're probably still trying to figure stuff out. And that product is still trying to figure out, you know, how it can do all the things that Microsoft would like it to eventually do. I think one thing that I do want to point out to the audience is virtually nobody pays Lyft. So even with Copilot, because they've had such dismal adoption, are typically 40 to 60% discounts. You know, there's government programs that you pay zero if you have the G5 SKU, you know, for Copilot for 12 months. If you agree to basically license more than 80% of the people in your organization, even in small organizations with Copilot, you get a 30% discount, but that's on top of some other 10 or 15% discounts. So I would say, you know, if you're paying $99 for the E7, like you're getting a really bad deal because there are significant discounts on components of that and specifically E5. And, you know, Microsoft got rid of some of the tiered licensing, the volume discounts. But one of the things that, you know, I'm certainly hearing from enterprise customers is, yeah, the licenses aren't discounted, but, you know, you pay for 1,000 licenses and we give you 1,200 licenses. So you get free licenses as opposed to discounting. So I think, you know, but back to the question, right now, no, that bundle is not worth $99 per user per month. Maybe when everybody figures out how to become a frontier firm, and we all have all our agents doing all our work, then I'm going to say, heck yes, it's probably worth 10 times that, but not today, to your point, Curtis.
Okay. No, good perspective. Now, it's funny, just looking at the productivity side of the value add in E7, everything's all about agents now. There is sort of an end user agent set of capabilities, agent mode, of course, in like Excel, Word. Just did a podcast 3-4 weeks ago on agent mode in Excel. Some of that might actually have some material benefit to the end user rather than sort of like all the agent mode capabilities at the admin level. But again, I think to your point, Kevin, it all depends where your organization's at in terms of your AI journey, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. And what's interesting, of course, is the Copilot stuff is included. So for companies that are considering deploying Copilot en masse to the majority of their organization, from what you've seen in the E7 SKUs and the organizations you work with, do you think the E5 plus the Copilot, which gets your price point close, is that delta sort of worth just paying the E7?
Well, I don't think yet, because, you know, like if you're a larger organization, you know, whatever that increment is, you know, you multiply it by 10,000, 100,000, those numbers get pretty scary pretty fast. And I think that that's been the pushback on Copilot, right? Because let's face it, I mean, if you know how to use Copilot effectively, if it can be, you know, put into and integrated into your workflows, it easily should be able to save you $30 in a month. The challenge has been people have used it and then they don't change their behavior. You know, they try it and then they kind of forget to use it. And then, of course, it has, you know, diminished value. So I think that, you know, the next step, so once you trust that, then, you know, to your point, Curtis, maybe in a year or two or potentially longer for some organizations, you know, once you trust AI assistants like Copilot, you know, then you're going to move into that agentic thing where you're like, hey, that's okay, go work in the background and do things on my behalf. But I think, you know, we're still seeing a long ramp. I just got back from Enterprise Connect. There was a lot of discussion, as you know, around the return on investment in AI. And I left with this thought: no one really wants AI. Now, of course, they want the magic that they assume AI is going to bring. But for each person, that's different magic. It could be productivity. It could be efficiency. It could be it makes my life easier. And that's why I think it's so difficult, is that, you know, it could be revenue. It could be cost cutting. Everyone, when they say AI, it's code for whatever they think it's going to do. And different people have different opinions. And that's why we get people saying it's overhyped or because they have different magic that they expect. And I think we're all still definitely learning and experimenting here.
So do we think this is like some posturing? Like is E3 going to go away? Is E5 now the new baseline? Whereas before it was E3 was the baseline and, you know, you wanted E5 was considered the top line. Now E7 is. So is E5 now the new norm for enterprise and E3 may go away? Like, is this, where do you see that happening?
Well, so I have no insight from Microsoft in that regard, but man, I would say that would create a huge amount of screaming if they got rid of some of the lower end SKUs, right? You know, with the price increases, you know, it was the lower SKUs because they were, you know, lower dollar cost that got the, you know, like the F1 SKUs or whatever, they got like the 30% increase, right? Because, you know, granted, they went up a couple of dollars on the low thing. But yeah, if they got rid of, I can't see them getting rid of the E3 because there are a lot of organizations that I think are going to mix and match. And I think only a very few people in the short term are going to step up and both require and purchase the E7.
I mean, that's an interesting take, Dino, because like on the business premium side, like, is there going to be another SKU that includes a little bit of the Agent 365 side? Is it just going to get rolled into the premium? That'll be interesting because, yeah, what happens if you're sub 300, right? And you get the benefits of those premium licenses before you step into the E-SKUs. I mean, for like my organization, we use the Entra suite because we use the global secure access, right? So the Entra private access, the Entra, you know, internet access. So that on top of Copilot and E5, we're getting a discount and we get all the Agent 365 stuff kind of as a bonus. But I'm not sure how many organizations have also moved away from VPNs and fully into global secure access using Microsoft's tech. Like it, once you start stacking some of the other technologies, this becomes quite a bit of a value. But this may be like Microsoft funding initiatives for the next fiscal of like trying to get you know, organizations to deploy, you know, some of these new features that they get if they move into the E7 SKUs.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. Like, if like your organization, like if you use most of the capabilities, it's these bundles have always been good. You know, it's like the E5, like people's like, oh my gosh, the E5 is so expensive compared to the E3 or what have you. But that's because, you know, if you took a poll, I mean, most people don't even know all the tools inside the E5. They might go out and, you know, they would buy a survey tool, even though Microsoft Forms is part of it, right? So, you know, it's like these are great bundles if you can leverage all of the capabilities. But I think that what we've seen, at least from my perspective, and especially with AI, the capability increase, like if you look at, you know, the agent mode in Excel, agent mode in Word, theoretically agent mode in PowerPoint, although it doesn't seem to be available to most people. But the capabilities of Copilot have grown so fast that almost nobody can keep up. And even if you have, you know, you go in and you try one of these capabilities, it's like, it may not work very well, but next month it works excellent. But most business users, they don't have time to every month go back and say, does it work now? Does it work now? So I think as the bundle has more capabilities like this E7, I don't think many people are able to keep up, and they're still struggling to use many of the capabilities in the, you know, E5, for example, right?
One thing I was hoping that was going to get pulled into the E7 was the pay-as-you-go calling plan. I thought, like, hey, this would just drive agent and voice and communications. And it's always interesting when you go to another bundle and then have to add on top of that. So I thought that would have been an easy win to throw that pay-as-you-go. You still have the consumption just like agents, but that would have been, a win.
Yeah, I think there was some discussion, you know, I think it's interesting, and this isn't limited to Microsoft, but certainly depending on how you deploy the agents, like, you know, with Copilot, there's a lot of it, if you're using it internally, that there isn't consumption charges, but if you kind of create it for externally or depending on if you use the free version of Copilot, you know, there may be some consumption billing. You know, that's very new, and it obviously removes some of the price predictability. Now, It's you know, vendors, there's real cost to all the, you know, token cost to all the AI processing capabilities. But by shifting the risk of consumption from the vendor to the end customer, you know, one of the problems is you always want to drive adoption, right? So if you had E5, you want everybody to use Excel and to use PowerPoint because you've paid for it. And so you get more value by driving adoption. I think with agents and consumption billing, you know, you got to be careful, because if you drive too much adoption, then you get a bill at the end of the month and you're like, it's a big surprise. I also think that it, you know, there's not the same incentive for vendors to optimize their costs when the consumption billing is pushed off to the customer. Because of course, if the token costs come down, like right now, NVIDIA GTC is occurring and Jensen Huang is talking about how the token cost is radically going down. But, you know, I don't see necessarily like the per message cost. I don't know that Microsoft's going to lower it. So as the cost goes down, the vendor's going to benefit, but they've shifted the risk of the consumption to the customer. And certainly customers, it makes it much more difficult for the CFO to try to budget, you know, for some of these capabilities. So I think customers are, you know, it gets even more challenging. You know, you've got to figure out what license to give to the right person, because you're not going to typically blanket, you know, everybody E7. That's what people did even with Copilot, hence the lower adoption. And now you've got to allocate and guesstimate for some of the consumption billing. So much more complicated.
Yeah, and just to clarify, Kevin, the E7, it doesn't change the agent consumption-based model, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. That's certainly, there's nothing, that's, you know, certainly my understanding. It is difficult. You know, we're all looking for the perfect chart, and, you know, Microsoft has all these tables, but you go in, and, you know, there are some new things, like new for 2026 is there's some of the town hall, you know, kind of webinar capabilities that are now included that used to be in Teams Premium. You know, I said you still might need Teams Premium, but some things in Teams Premium now you don't need a Teams Premium for. So it is a moving target. And, you know, the thing is I think Microsoft, like we saw that with Copilot, there was the paid Copilot and then the free Copilot. And, you know, the Microsoft Copilot chat, the free version, they got more capabilities. And that's a great thing if you haven't bought the licenses. I think what Microsoft sometimes forgets is if I bought paid licenses to get the capabilities that now are free, you know, depending on the term I bought for my licenses, I may be less happy that I paid for something that now I, you know, if I'd waited a little longer, it was free. So licensing, I think you said at the beginning, it could be an hour. It could be an hour, and we'd probably have more questions than answers at the end of the hour.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you need that, like a PhD in licensing to just to even understand like how things layer on top. But I mean, to your point, I was thinking just as you were talking that it kind of seems to me that the Teams Premium sort of got devalued a little bit, just in the sense that, like, you know, they moved the Places stuff out of it. And then a lot of that stuff that you can do within Copilot with, the, you know, the transcription and all that other kind of stuff, there's really not a lot left really in the Teams Premium, other than like QZap and maybe some other little things. But I would have thought that they would have just taken that and just put it into the E7, saying like, okay, yeah, now we're expanding that. And because there's really not much additional stuff that you're going to get true value out of it, I feel, right now.
Yeah, I've always described the Teams Premium as like this esoteric combination of features. And you know, you mentioned the QZap. I mean, that's, you know, that you don't need for all the users. You know, you got some branding and watermarking that you don't need for all the users. The one thing that kind of annoys me is some of the real-time meeting telemetry. You got a license for all the, I mean, like, you don't know which users are going to have trouble. So you theoretically license that for all the users. That seems like you're nickel and diming people, right? Like, it's like, you know, you want people to, I think, have good meetings. So I don't know, that I would have liked to. And then to your point, Habib, there doesn't seem to be too much left there. So why don't you just roll it into the E7?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If Microsoft is listening, here you got some experts saying that you should do that.
All right. Well, that was a good deep dive into something that's really important. I think at the end of the day, all this comes down to value. It all depends where your organization is. Can you take advantage of the Entra ID capabilities on top of the Copilot, the advanced agent governance capabilities? So it was really great chat, Kevin. Thanks for coming on. Always interesting to hear your take from the ground, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin.